This is a summer of sequels. There will be 16 in movie theaters this season. This weekend is the sequeliest. Both How to Train Your Dragon 2 and 22 Jump Street are out. Critic Bob Mondello says they offer blockbuster deja vu and also a lesson in how to train your audience.
21 Jump Street was already a parody of a TV cop show, making fun of having been there and done that. So at the beginning of 22 Jump Street, there's a previously on Jump Street recap, followed by a meeting with the chief.
Well, I hoped never to see you again.
What's up, dog?
We're back.
In which he pretty directly addresses the original low-budget stakes as the movie studio saw them.
Nobody cared about the Jump Street reboot, but you got lucky.
And then explains where that leaves us.
So now this department has invested a lot of money to make sure Jump Street keeps going.
A lot of money that you can see on screen in a chase scene atop an 18-wheeler, cars bursting into flame.
See, that was our car.
All of which establishes that Officers Schmidt and Jenko aren't very good at action heroics, so their captain sends them back undercover as very overage students.
Same identities, same assignment.
We're going back to high school?
You look like you're about 50. You're going to MC State.
In the first movie, the joke was that beefy Channing Tatum and nerdy Jonah Hill had to work together because high school had changed so much. This time, the jokes are more about how they work together in a dysfunctional partnership that a college shrink, perhaps understandably, misjudges somewhat when they try to explain it to him.
Doc, I just feel like sometimes he's not even trying anymore.
Seriously, he's okay. Clingy, he's terrified of being by himself.
Given all these strong feelings, why don't you hold hands? He's literally reaching out for you.
I won't hold my hand. You gotta interlock it, though. If you don't interlock it, you might as well just be friends. And not partners.
Filmmakers Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who are themselves an impressive partnership, having made the Lego Movie and the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs pictures, know enough not to mess with a successful formula. They keep the self-referential stuff going right through the closing credits, including young Ice Cube on the soundtrack and middle-aged Ice Cube on screen.
It's the same case. Do the same thing.
Sequel rules to live by. The other way to do a sequel, though, is to advance the story, and the How to Train Your Dragon folks take that route.
What do you think, bud? You want to give this another shot?
Part 2 picks up 5 years after we last saw Hiccup, then a teen Viking chief in training who's now an angular, considerably more sure of himself 20-year-old. He lost a leg in the first movie, but he's adapted, as has his dragon steed, Toothless, who has a prosthetic tail fin. No big deal is made of their physical challenges this time. What's happening here is that they're learning more about the world.
Something is coming. Something you've never faced before.
Protect our people. It's your destiny.
In the first film, Hiccup had what was essentially a child's task, overcoming his own and then his tribe's fear of monsters. With those fire-breathing beasties now tamed, both our hero and the filmmakers can move on to more mature pursuits, figuring out how to deal with an aggressor who can't be reasoned with, for instance, and appreciating the balance to be found in an environment that's admittedly fanciful, but gorgeously realized on screen.
Dragons.
Hiccup will discover that with power comes responsibility and that the ones you love can make terrible, even deadly mistakes. Heady stuff for a kid flick, but there are precedents. Director Dean DuBois has been saying this installment is the middle movie in a How to Train Your Dragon trilogy, and it's clear that he took inspiration from the first Star Wars trilogy, which is not a bad model for breathing new life and, yes, a bit of fire into one of Hollywood's more nuanced animated franchises. I'm Bob Mondello.